Beitza, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, 2-9. This Mishnah comes on the heels of the previous, where we had mentioned the utensil called the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin, the grinder of peppers. And this Mishnah really is a side point talking about the Tumah status of the various components of the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin. So it's really a Tumah Tahara topic here. The basic gist of the Mishnah is as follows. When it comes to normal utensils, if there are multiple components to it and it functions as a whole unit, a single unit, so then all the different components integrated into that utensil typically are considered to be part of the same utensil, and therefore all of them share a single tumah status. So for example, if you think of, let's say, a mousetrap. Mousetrap has like that wooden base, and then glued to it or attached to it is the metal, you know, spring and the part that comes down on the mouse, etc. That's one unit, it functions together. And if it's tame, so then if, let's say, for example, a dead rat touches any part of the mousetrap, then all the parts of the mousetrap are equally tame. It's not that the wooden base becomes tame, but not the spring or vice versa. Now, the Mishnah here wants to consider what the status is of the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin, this pepper grinder, which has it's comprised of three separate parts, and the question is, are they considered to be three parts of a single whole or three independent utensils? And the Mishnah's basic point is they are three independent utensils. It's just, again, what does this Rechaim Shel Pilpilin look like? It has three parts to it. It functions quite similarly to a garlic press, like a hand garlic press, if you used that before. So think of that kind of situation here, where you have three parts to it. The top part is like the pestle, it's going to be pushing down on the pepper to smush it, and that will be, it's basically a wooden stick essentially, but there's a metal piece at the bottom of it, so that keeps it firm, hard, rigid, durable, and it's going to mash down on the pepper. Then, what you're mashing against is a second piece, which is something like, think of it like a honeycomb. It's made out of wood, but it has holes in it through which the mushed pepper pieces can ooze through, very much like that hand garlic press where you're squeezing the one side metal pushing against the garlic in the middle, and then the garlic is crushed and the little bits of garlic ooze through the holes. So that's the second piece, is this like the honeycomb hole, you know, network. And then the third piece is the receptacle into which the crushed pepper is collected, and that's like a little like a dish. It's also made out of wood. So our Mishnah's point here is that the three separate parts are considered three separate utensils. Each one's susceptible to Tumah, and each one susceptible to Tumah individually. So that means, for example, the mousetrap. If you take a mousetrap, and it, let's say it was Tumah, and then you rip the metal away from that wooden base, so now you have like essentially a broken mousetrap. So since the utensil is now broken, no longer functional, all the parts become Tahor, a utensil, a kli that becomes broken, loses its Tumah. So if you have the tummy mousetrap and you rip into two parts, both parts are now tahor. In contrast, since we have all three of the component parts of the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin being independent utensils, so when you disassemble it or reassemble it, there's no impact on the tumma status of each of the individual pieces. And similarly, if the proverbial dead rat touches any one of those three parts, let's say the dead rat touches the receptacle that's collecting the crushed pepper, so then the other parts of the pepper grinder, meaning the stick with the metal piece at the bottom, as well as the middle wooden like honeycomb network thing, those remain tahor. They remain tahor because when a utensil becomes tummy, it can't convey tumah to other utensils under normal circumstances. Okay, so that's the point of our Mishnah here, and now we'll go through each part one at a time. It says, Harechaim shel pilpilin, when it comes to this device, Tamea mishum shlosha kalim. It's tame, but considered tame as three independent utensils. Mishum kli kibul. As for the bottom piece, it's made out of wood. Wood is one of these seven industrial materials that are susceptible to tumah. But wood, a wooden utensil, is only susceptible to tumah if it has a base kibul, if it has a receptacle to hold something. And this, of course, does. This is like the tray which catches the crushed pepper. And therefore, it because of Mishum Kli Kibul, since it has a utensil, a receptacle in the utensil, it's susceptible to Tumah on a Deraisa level. Umishum Kli Matachot, And secondly, the top component, the stick, the pestle, made out of wood, but has the metal at the bottom, will become tame as a metal utensil. Now, this, of course, is mostly made out of wood. But since it has a metal piece at the bottom, and the metal piece at the bottom is the essential piece, what makes this thing like the pepper crusher is that it has this hard piece of metal at the bottom, which is used to crush the pepper. So then the wooden stick is looked as a handle subordinate to the metal base, and therefore it's makabel tuma as a metal utensil. That's important because since a stick doesn't have a base kibul, has no receptacle, a stick that's like a pestle made out of wood would not be susceptible to tuma. But since it has a metal base, that metal on the end of it, and that metal on the end of it is the essential component, it's considered to be a metal utensil. Metal utensils become tame, are susceptible to tuma even without having any base kibul, a receptacle. And as for the middle piece, the wooden honeycomb type piece against which you're pressing is also tame mishum kli kavara, because it is like a sifter. Now, this is a little different. Mida oraisa, a kavara, like a sieve or a sifter, is not makabel tuma under normal circumstances, because if it's made out of some natural fiber, some wooden material, or similar, it's a kli eitz, and a kli eitz has to have a receptacle, and since everything passes through the holes, it doesn't have a receptacle to hold things on a derice level, everything passes through. However, the rabbis were gozer that any kli kavara, any sort of like networky type material, wooden utensil like this, very much resembles something like, say, like a cheesecloth or other sort of, loosely woven fabric. And a beged, woven fabric from natural materials, is susceptible to tuma without needing to have like a specific, pocket as a receptacle. So the rabbis felt that things that resemble a kavara, a sifter, really resemble very much and almost are tantamount to cheesecloths and similar. They function the same way, they do the same thing. Since a cheesecloth is makabel tuma on a derice level, they said any kavara, sifting device, should be makabel tuma on a derabana level, and therefore that's the case with the middle piece in the Reichaim Shel Pilpilin.